Hello, everybody, and welcome to this Unused Substitutes special interview, From Clay to Cathedrals. We are joined by former Rowdies goalkeeper Jeff Atanella, currently playing for the Portland Timbers, to do a bit of reminiscing and get some of his thoughts on current events around American soccer today. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. It's been a while since I've dove into the Rowdies world, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, like, how long has it been since you've been back in the area? Like, when was the last time you've been able to visit Al Lang, like, in general? I mean...
Yeah, so I actually tried this last offseason, because I come back to Tampa every offseason.
Okay.
You know, Tampa is definitely still home for me, and, you know, that's definitely where I plan on, you know, once soccer in the MLS world is over, that's definitely where I plan on ending up. So Tampa's still home for me. I actually tried this past offseason to get over there and check it out. But, you know, the schedule didn't quite work out, but I've been downtown St. Pete. I've been in the Tampa area, I mean, every offseason since I left. So I'm very familiar with everything going on. You know, it's been upgraded quite a bit since when I played. But, you know, it's been a little while since I've actually gotten inside the stadium.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes sense, you know. Grew up around here, born in this area, you know, it's legitimately your hometown. So, you know, it's not just your professional hometown, but it's your legitimate hometown. So that makes sense I'll be remiss to not congratulate you guys on the pretty confident CONCACAF Champions League result here against Marathon. You know, that's got to be confidence building, not just for the tournament, but even for the season in general, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great result. I think that you know, the result down there was definitely challenging, but I think our result down there was a good result as well, just because, you know, especially in this type of tournament, you want to set yourself up for success at home. And we did a good job at that. And out here in Oregon, you know, we haven't been able to have the fans out in the stadium. It's been a year, you know, it's been since all this stuff went down. It's been a year since we've had any fans in the stadium. And this is the first game that we could welcome the fans back. And, you know, very similar to Ralph's Mob, you know, Timbers Army and the environment in Portland at Providence Park, you know, it makes the experience, it makes the team, it makes everything, you know, it kind of levels everything up a little bit. So to have some fans back in the stadium, to be able to advance in Champions League, and, you know, I'm pretty sure this is the furthest that the Timbers have gotten. So to advance past that, to advance past this round, to have some fans back in the stadium, and to do it in, you know, a pretty convincing fashion, it's something that we're riding a little bit of a high, and we're feeling pretty good about the result. And, you know, I think that it was something that, you know, we expect to win that type of game, and we did it. We did it in, you know, convincing fashion, and we feel pretty good about it. So obviously, you know, the next stage of Champions League is a big one. We're playing Club America, so it'll be a fun, you know, a fun experience and a big challenge, but, you know, we're definitely enjoying it, riding into the MLS season where we have a little bit of momentum and we feel good about the last result. And, you know, it's going to be a congested schedule, but we're excited to kick off the MLS season as well.
You know, it's interesting, these extra tournaments, because there's always been this big debate in American soccer, because, of course, there's just not as much, you know, nearly as much in-depth history with, you know, these other tournaments besides just the regular season. You know, because it extends beyond just like Champions League, but it's Open Cup. And of course, you know, the Rowdies have had their deep runs. You know, the Rowdies got eliminated in Portland. You know, we've had the opportunity to go out there. You know, we beat a Seattle team that was on a pretty consistent streak back, you know, 2013. Is there a perception that the tournaments, at least with like maybe Open Cup compared to Champions League, is there like a shift happening mentally as far as maybe the ownership groups or the coaching staffs or the players? Like, is the attitude towards some of these tournaments changing since, you know, obviously lower division teams, all we really have to look forward to is Open Cup. But, you know, how do those perspectives, how are they different and are they changing, do you think, in the long run for everybody?
I think that, I mean, Champions League is the ultimate, right? Champions mm-hmm. League is the ultimate prize. If you're the first team or if you're an MLS team that is able to conquer Champions League, that's the ultimate prize, right? Like, I think that if you're able to do that, that's bigger than MLS Cup. That's, you know, that's a statement for the state of soccer in this country. you know. So I think that, you know, if you're talking about ranking tournaments or where importance lies in terms of American soccer, I definitely think that's a big one because you know, the MLS has been pretty clear that they want to compete against these Mexican clubs. They want to be able to claim a Champions League title, and you know, the work and the signings and you know, the league development has been growing towards that. So I think Champions League is the ultimate one. But in terms of Open Cup, you know, I think that especially in the MLS, teams view Open Cup as it's almost like the least amount of games that you have to play and you have to win to get the chance to compete in Champions League, right? Because there's only so many opportunities that you get. Only four or five teams get into Champions League from the MLS. And if you're able to win the Open Cup, you know, especially the way that the tournament is set up now, I think it's what you got to win five games to win that trophy and get the opportunity to play in Champions League. So I think teams are looking at it now as a very competitive, very, you know, it's a kind of like a short path to get yourself to Champions League. And, you know, I know when I played with the Rowdies, the opportunity to play in the Open Cup and to play against these MLS teams, and again to try to win this tournament, that you get a berth and you're recognized on this, you know, national or international tournament, that's the goal, you know. So I think that if you're talking about these tournaments, that Champions League is viewed from a league perspective as, you know, the most sought after trophy that you can get. So I think that, you know, when you're really taking a step back and looking at Open Cup, it's, you know, it's an opportunity to accomplish that as well. So that's kind of how I think that the leagues are viewing it now as, and that's a little bit different from what it used to be, because I think that when we used to play in Champions League, it was, you know, you hope for the best, but you're probably not going to win it. But now I think MLS teams really feel that they have a shot to win this thing.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because I mean, with lower division teams, there's always this big argument about, you know, what you should prioritize. I mean, you know, the Rowdies, for instance, you know, even, you know, when you were back with the team, you know, because of politics in soccer, in 2011, we didn't have an opportunity to play in the Open Cup. But in 2012, obviously, you know, we got to play. We hosted Colorado Rapids in that tournament. Unfortunately, we didn't come away with a positive result. But, you know, it's the thing is like, obviously, with all these seasons that we've got under our belts now, it's like we've only had like one tournament where we've actually made like some noise. And there's always this like big debate about whether lower division clubs should prioritize Open Cup, or if there should be any emphasis on it, or if they should almost treat it like MLS does in the early rounds, where it's kind of like, if you win a couple of games, maybe make a run for it. But let me ask you in this context, in the years that you've played since, I mean, especially considering you played in a Rowdies jersey, you know, how would you personally feel if you were still in a lower division situation? Would you still believe that the Open Cup, you know, should be something that's kind of like, you know, if you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't in the early rounds? Or should that be something that you think, if you were in charge of a club, would that be a priority for you, you know, going into a season? Or is the tournament so small that it's, you know, if you don't do well, you don't do well?
Oh, I try to win it. Period. You know, 100%. I would try to win it because I think that if you're a lower division club and you're able to prove yourself on that type of scale, you know, I think that for me, that's the ultimate. Of course, you want to win the league, but, you know, I think that the Open Cup is a beautiful thing because teams get the opportunity, lower division teams get the opportunity to play against these teams with, you know, the big name players, the high budget, the big stadiums. And, you know, if I'm a lower division club and I believe that I have the quality in place to win the tournament, I'm going for it 100%. And I'm putting that, you know, I'm putting that over, to be honest, like during the time of the tournament, I would put that over league play, because I think that if you're able to win the Open Cup as a lower division team, I think that that accomplishment is worth, you know, so much more than it's generational. You know, it's worth so much more than just winning the league. And that's the way I view it. But, you know, that's what I would be chasing if I was a lower division team, for sure.
And I think it's interesting too, because you bring the perspective of a player. And so, like, obviously, like an executive is going to look at this and go, well, you know, the deeper run you get, the more publicity you get. It's something that you can market to your local community. as a way to market the club. From a player perspective, though, like, this is a chance for you guys, if, you know, for those folks that played in the lower divisions right now, you know, it's a chance to expose yourself as a player to, you know, clubs that may not necessarily have the scouting in place to have seen you before. We've seen historically lots of players that had luck with lower division teams get to make that jump and move up to Major League Soccer level, you know. So I'd imagine from like a player's perspective, there's always been a case of, we have to get a result no matter what 11 we put on the field. Like, there, I'm sure that perspective has always been there.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Cincinnati, right? Cincinnati had, when they were in the USL, they had a great run. I think they knocked off the Red Bulls and Chicago, I want to say.
Memories.
And,
yeah, something
and
like
that happened. I could be wrong about that. I know they knocked off Chicago because I remember watching that game and it was on ESPN. And, you know, that's a huge, you know, for Cincinnati USL Open Cup to win against the Chicago Fire on ESPN, that's a huge, I believe that that's a huge deal. And, you know, they did it in front of a packed house. They did it, you know, on national TV, and the soccer fans in this country were able to see that. So I think that that's something you don't necessarily get when you're playing league games in the USL. And at the same time, you know, it gave – I remember the goalie, right? I remember the goalie. His name was Mitch. And he had a great game. He saved a couple penalties. And then I believe the next year he made the leap to the MLS.
Yeah.
And as a player, if you're not given that opportunity to perform on that, you know, in that type of environment and then, you know, in front of that type of audience, you never know what's going to happen. So as players, I think it's a tremendous opportunity to get yourself scouted. But even from, you know, taking it from a club perspective, if, you know, if the Rowdies are able to knock off MLS teams and go on a run, you know, I see that as a very big deal because it is a lower division. But at the same time, you know, you're competing with the best soccer that there is in this country. And I think that's a very big deal.
I think one thing that's interesting too, is that as you know, the soccer culture in this country is evolving. I mean, cause it's constantly evolving. We're still an infant when it comes to soccer culture on a global stage, certainly historically speaking. You know, back in the day, you know, you come out and come pro, you know, in 2011, that's your first professional season. And, you know, back then, the highlight of the year generally for most clubs in America was the international friendly summer game. You know, obviously in your case, it was that Bolton Wanderers game, you know, where we had this, where we, you know, we managed to get this victory.
That was awesome, wasn't it?
It was amazing. I mean, that whole thing was incredible.
It was great.
The lone goal was a brilliant goal. I mean, you know, Pascal Million like dribbling through the entire length of the field against a Premier League team was like, what are we watching right now? How is this even possible? You know, speaking of memories with this that are relevant to current events, how about the fact that Justin Morrow was in that game? Like 12
hours
on the plane. And then last night he's scoring goals, winning tournament, you know, winning for Toronto against Club Lyon in the CONCACAF Champions League. I mean, how crazy of a coincidence of a small world of soccer as it is that, you know, you and I are talking the day after that happens and you guys played together, you know, going on, what is it, like 10 years now?
He scored 2 goals on me when we played against Toronto. I had to remind him. I'm like, man, I thought we were teammates. I thought we were friends.
I mean, it's pretty incredible to think about. But do you see us? I mean, I have the impression right now that the idea of the mid-season friendly seems to be something that's kind of going away a little bit as these other tournaments start to get more important, like Open Cup and Champions League, where you don't have to necessarily have these European teams come in on their off-season for like this random, unimportant match. Do you think that there's going to be a point where, if we haven't already reached it, because of course COVID shut everything down last year for, you know, these friendly type games, do you think that that's something that's going to be going away completely, like in a personal viewpoint, now that these other tournaments are becoming more important?
Man, I hope not. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's a tough question. I think that, you know, for the Rowdies to get the opportunity when I was playing to play Bolton, I think that that's a pretty big deal. And to be honest, you know, now that I look back at it, you know, I kind of wonder how that all came together to begin with. But I hope not. I mean, I think that it's going to take a few years to, you know, kind of get things back to normal a little bit and, you know, have the travel, have teams coming over to the States be a little bit more normal again. But hopefully that's something that can get going again, because it's good for this country. You know, it's good for soccer development in this country to have those friendlies against international teams, to see these clubs from other places where, you know, soccer is the priority of, you know, the country. And so for teams like that to come over to America and play against the American teams, I think that's important for the development. And, you know, I know the MLS All-Star Game still does it, where we're bringing in people from other countries. And, you know, I hope that that's something that can pick back up again once things get a little bit more normal. But, you know, it's this day and age, it's pretty tough to tell what that new normal is going to look like, you know?
True. It's so true. You know, staying on the historical track here, I mean, obviously, you know, you come out of college, you come out of USF, you know, you get drafted by RSL, but you don't get signed by them. And then, of course, you get picked up by the Rowdies. Tell me, you know, you come into a situation where there's an established goalkeeper, you're a rookie player. Darryl Sattler's the goalkeeper coming into going into that season. He was the established starter at the time. Is there, from player perspective, I mean, myself, I didn't play professionally. I've never played. I didn't play in college or anything like that. So, you know, my perspective on this is a little jaded because of that. But, you know, is there a what was your perspective coming into the Tampa Bay Rowdies? Was it more of a, I want to learn from these professionals, I want to learn from the opportunities here? Or was it more of, I have to beat Daryl to get into that, you know, starting role, because that's what I'm paid to do, that's what my career aspirations are? You know, what was, for you individually, what was your perspective going into that first season with the Rowdies?
You know, to be honest, I didn't really know what to expect. I was very new to the professional environment, and, you know, to be completely honest, I was pretty disappointed about not sticking on the MLS roster. I thought that, you know, my success in college, and, you know, I thought that that would have carried over a little bit more. So, to be honest, I was just excited to be on a team. I was excited to still have the opportunity to live at home, because, you know, if it wasn't my hometown team, I'm not sure it would have stuck, you know, kind of the way that it did. Because, you know, not making the MLS team was a big letdown for me. And when I got there, and, you know, I had experience with the Rowdies before. I had trained with them over the summers because of my time at USF, and, you know, I had competed against them. Same thing, USF, you know, they scrimmage the Rowdies every year. So I felt pretty comfortable once I got on the team that I belonged at that level. And in terms of getting playing time and, you know, how all that would shake out, I really didn't know what to expect. So I was more so just along for the ride. And then obviously, you know, what happened to Daryl was very unfortunate, because you don't want to see that happen to anybody. But at the same time, it's when you're playing the goalkeeper position, there's only so many ways that you get on the field. And that's something that I've learned throughout my career is, you know, you get opportunities in weird ways if you're a goalie, and you have to make the most of it. And fortunately, you know, I had a coach that believed in me. You know, Ricky, we brought in a guy from the MLS who, you know, in theory, I guess, should have been playing over me. But at the same time, you know, Ricky believed in me, and he liked what I had been doing in practice, so he gave me the opportunity to run with it. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that it worked out that way. And I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to make of my career. You know, that first year I started taking internships around the Tampa Bay area and various jobs, and, you know, started coaching and doing different things, because I really didn't know what to expect, and I didn't really know what was going to come of everything. But, you know, once Daryl got hurt, I felt like I was able to make the most of an opportunity. And then, you know, going into the next year, I was pretty clearly the starter, and, you know, everything just kind of took off from that second year.
What was the turning point for you when it went from, like, you know, having these side jobs, the side internships, where you're kind of looking like that idea of what if soccer doesn't work out? Was there, at what point career-wise, did you kind of make the realization, or maybe it just kind of clicked where it was like, hey, I can actually probably pull this thing off and might be able to do this for like a while and make this something of a long-term potential career here? Was there like a specific game, or was it just an off season in general? Like, was there something specific that you kind of just went and said, you know what, I'm going to go for it. Let's just see what happens and go full in.
You know, it really wasn't until, honestly, it probably wasn't until my second year with Salt Lake.
Wow.
You know, when I had the success with the Rowdies, I was offered a contract by RSL because they still had my rights, which was, you know, a weird thing in itself. But you know, after we had the success with the Rowdies and we won the championship, I was offered a contract from Salt Lake. And, you know, even again, once I got to Salt Lake, you know, they brought me in as the backup. And then 2 weeks into it, they signed Josh Saunders, who had won a couple MLS Cups. You know, he was an established veteran. And, you know, just after moving my wife out there, because my wife is from Tampa as well, right after we moved out there, you know, it was kind of like, well, is this happening again? Because I just signed the contract, but they had just signed a new goalie. And it was very clear that I was the third one on the totem pole. And, you know, the first year played out, we, again, you know, Josh picked up a little bit of an injury. I got to play 4 or 5 games, and I did pretty well my first year. And after that, you know, the next year in 2014, Romano got called into the World Cup, and I got a big stretch of games where, you know, I was able to have success. I played really well. I filled in for him, you know, the best that I could, and people seemed to be happy. And then after that, RSL, you know, offered me you know, less of the rookie contract where it's, you know, every year is an option and, you know, you're kind of living on the edge of your seat. And it was more of a guaranteed contract. And after that second year, I felt pretty comfortable that, you know, I was on the right path, that I had played a few MLS games and felt comfortable doing it. And that I had filling in for Nick Romano is no easy task, but I had done that, you know, the best that I could, and people seemed to be pretty happy with how I did. So, you know, after that, I felt like I could make a career out of it. And, you know, that I was able to establish myself as an MLS quality goalkeeper. But, you know, it definitely took a few years because you need that opportunity to play in games to really establish yourself at this level.
I imagine also, you know, going from a situation where you're a championship winning goalkeeper, you know, you're starting keeper for the Rowdies that year. And, you know, you go into a situation at RSL where Nick Raimondo is the unquestioned, you know, number one goalkeeper. Like, I mean, the dude's a like Hall of Fame quality player, if you want to, you know, if you subscribe to Hall of Fame for soccer. But, you know, he's one of those like legendary go down in history type players for, you know, U.S. soccer history. Is that challenging going into an environment where, like, you know, you're going in as a backup, especially coming off of a year where you were the starter for a championship team? Is that like a particular, is that mentally like a particularly challenging situation, or is that just kind of the life of a goalkeeper, depending on the club that you go to? I mean, is that just kind of run of the mill for what you kind of should expect, or was that like a really challenging scenario for you?
To be honest, you know, it was the exact opposite of challenging. I think when I first got there, it was, you know, he had such an incredible season in 2013. And I knew, you know, you watch him play with the national team every now and then, and you hear his name a lot. But once I really got into camp and got to work with him every day, it was a situation where, you know, he was clearly better than I was. He was the established number one. He was one of the best goalkeepers in the league. And for me, you know, I just wanted to learn. I wanted to learn. I wanted to, you know, kind of be his shadow with what he was doing and learn from him in every way that I could to see how he got to where he is. And for me, you know, knowing that he was the established number one, knowing that if I was going to play, it was going to be very well communicated. It was going to be something that, you know, Nick's not playing this game for X, Y, and Z reasons. We need to get Jeff ready to play this game because we know that he's going to be out. So it gave me ample time to prepare for certain situations that popped up. You know, it gave me the opportunity to study and to learn from someone who's done it at a very high level, you know, for a very long time in the MLS. So I viewed it as a blessing that I got to be behind a guy who was getting called into the national team, so I got the opportunity to play some games because you have a lot of good goalies in the MLS that, they're stuck behind an established vet or an established number one, and they get maybe one or two games a year, and that's all they get. But, Nick was getting called in all the time, so for me, it was a great opportunity to play games. And to be honest, I just tried to learn as much as I possibly could because that's so much about goalkeeping is learning through experiences and seeing, how other people have success. So for me, that's what I try to do. We were very fortunate to make the MLS Cup in 2013, and it's still one of the best seasons I've seen a goalkeeper have. And to be, on the bench and kind of his support system and helping him have that type of season and learning from him during that run, it's invaluable. It was something that I still cherish to this day. And, if it wasn't for the opportunity to learn from him and study behind him, I don't think I would have ended up where I have.
Circling back to the Rowdies a bit here, looking back at those seasons, are there particular games that stand out to you? I mean, obviously the championship game is a obviously it's a more than important game. It's always going to be with you in those playoff games in general. I mean, obviously the Bolton game, to a lesser extent maybe, is still going to be something that's really relevant. Is there particular games in mind that, whether on the field or off the field, carries like special memories for you, that you still kind of almost cherish to a point, today?
Yeah, I mean, there's anytime that we had success against the Railhawks, especially away in Cary, because I just remember, that was a very challenging place to play, and during the playoff run, we had a really good result. We had a really good result up there. I want to say we won. We might have tied, but I remember leaving that during that playoff run and thinking, wow, our team's in pretty good shape if we can pull off that result here because they always had a good team. And, obviously the finals is a great run, and the home and away leg versus Minnesota was always awesome. And to be honest, man, I really loved playing away at Puerto Rico.
Interesting.
Those are always fun experiences, and it's always different, but they put you up at a resort, and you get to go down there and you play in a stadium, and you get to stay at their beach resort for a night or two. So those are always fun, but more than anything, I remember the playoff run because it was just so special, and obviously the way it ended was great, but even playing away at the Railhawks was never easy, never easy, and that we were able to get a good result there and kind of carry that momentum through us the rest of the playoffs, that was huge.
Wake Med's still, to me, like one of the coolest stadiums out there. It's tucked away kind of in the middle of a forest, but it's like always been
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful out there.
clean playing surface. The stadium itself is really nice. When they added that second deck and like, I don't know, it was like 2014 or something, like it really elevated. Like, I've always had a special place. I've managed to go there a couple times. That's a beautiful stadium. Good memories too. And
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. So sorry, take it a little bit. But when we played, so I played when I was on Salt Lake. We played an away game at the Silverbacks in the Open Cup,
okay.
and I remember. And we practiced there. And I remember telling them, like, guys, this isn't an easy place to play. Like, this isn't gonna be an easy one. This isn't like, trust me, this isn't gonna be an easy one. And everyone just kind of like laughed me off. They're like, oh, whatever. It's not a big deal. Like, we'll get this done. No problem at all. We ended up losing 2-1, and it was like the atmosphere was crazy. The field was tough. But I remember telling them, I'm like, guys, this isn't easy. This isn't easy. But they didn't lean on my experience in that situation.
I remember that. That was Carolina definitely had a more than a couple of open cup runs back in those days, taking on LA Galaxy like repeatedly at Cary. It was that was quite an interesting half decade for Carolina back then.
It was a fun time, man. It was fun place to play, that's for sure.
So, you always hear players talking about, and typically it's more field players than anybody else, about different, rituals that they might have, off the field, kind of like whether it's a pregame or a postgame, maybe it's a reward or something like that for a good performance. Have you, did you back then in 2011, 2012, where, you know, did you have like a particular, you know, ritual or type of thing before games would start or the week of games that would just for whatever reason out of habit was like a little particular pattern that you would do or something like that as far as back when you were kind of like in your rookie stage?
When I had a lot more energy, I used to go for runs, but that's about it. I'll go for runs the morning of game day. But, you know, as I've gotten older and, you know, you got kids in the family, the energy isn't quite what it used to be. But, you know, now it's a pregame chicken parm that my wife makes. But back then I used to run before games. But besides that, that was pretty much it in terms of superstitions and, you know, what I would do before games.
And it's funny now because obviously now you're almost to a point where you're becoming the grizzled veteran type. So now it's the chicken parm, really?
Yeah, you know, now it's, you know, it used to be exercise, but now it's the comfort food. Yeah, oh, things, you know, as you get older in this profession, things change a little bit.
it's interesting because I wanted to ask you about that. Like, has your perception of what the game means to you, what the sport means to you on a professional level, has that substantially changed since you go from, you know, the guy coming out of college to now you've got, you know, kids to support, you've got, you know, a family that you're contributing to, you know, has your perspective and your approach to the sport changed as your personal life has grown?
It has, man. It really has. It's, you know, especially back in the Rowdies days, it was always, you know, I had to get to the next level. You know, I was very determined. I was very focused on getting my game to the next level and taking that leap into MLS. And even, you know, once I got to MLS and, you know, I said that being behind Nick was, you know, it was a good opportunity for me to learn. It was a good opportunity for me to get games where he was gone a lot. You know, there reached a point in that time that I was backing up Nick that I was ready for the next leap as well. You know, so it's always been, you know, there's been steps along my career where it's about proving myself and really, you know, really pushing and really striving to prove that I belong at this level. You know, I you know, played for the Clearwater Chargers. I wasn't really with many national, I wasn't on the national team picture. You know, I went to USF because it was a local school and they saw me locally and recruited me. But, you know, USF was by far the biggest school that was recruiting me. So I've always had that chip on my shoulder where I felt like, you know, I was either underappreciated or I really had to prove myself on a bigger scale for the majority of my career. But now, you know, now that I've been in it, you know, I've played in big games, I've played in big moments, and I've had the opportunity to kind of establish myself here. I'm really just trying to enjoy the ride for what it is. You know, I really see now that, you know, I needed a lot of luck. I needed a lot of things to go my way. I needed, you know, a lot of opportunities to present myself. And of course, you know, I had to make the most of those opportunities, but, you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed with the career that I've had. And especially on this Champions League run, you know, I'm playing with some of the best players in the world from countries, you know, all over the planet. I'm playing in Honduras, which, you know, who would have ever thought, you know, and now, you know, our next round is in Azteca.
Yeah.
Which as a kid, you know what I mean? As a kid, you dream about. And yeah, it's something
right?
that, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you know, it would have been something that I would have been really worked up. And I would have, you know, if I wasn't playing or if I didn't get the chance to start that game, it would have been something that, you know, kind of ruined the experience for me. But now, you know, now that I've, you know, grown in this position and really grown as a player, it's something that, you know, how many people get the opportunity to go down and play a game in Azteca or be a part of a game in Azteca? And as an American who kind of did it the hard way, it's something that I just step back and appreciate now. And, you know, I don't think that when I was younger, I would have really done it the same way. So it has changed a lot, my perspective. And, you know, to be honest, man, I'm just trying to enjoy the ride for what it is, because it's been something incredible.
It is pretty incredible to think. I mean, like, you and I are pretty similar in age. Like, going to Azteca always felt like just something that you would do in a FIFA game. And that was as close as you'd ever get to actually stepping foot in that cathedral. And yet here, you know, now here you are, you're basically 2 weeks away from, you know, going there actually on the pitch. Like, you know, that's, I can't even imagine like kind of what's going through your head at the moment, you know, just kind of coming to that realization that it's like right there in front of you that you're about to do this.
Yeah, no, it's cool, man. And like, you know, to be honest, we have that here in the States as well. When, you know, I got to play the final in Atlanta and there was 70 plus. And, you know, Arthur Blank is going down the line. And, you know, I'm a huge Bucks fan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Arthur Blank is going down the line and shaking hands. And I'm just like, holy, you know what I mean? Holy, I get to shake Arthur Blank's hand like I'm in this game. You know, this is like NFL, you know what I mean? We play in CenturyLink, or I think it has a different name now. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, man, you know, it's like I'm playing in these arenas. I'm playing in these environments where, you know, I'm used to watching NFL Sundays. I'm used to seeing, you know, this one, I could have never dreamt it. So, you know, I'm very blessed, man. I'm very blessed and I'm very fortunate to end up where I have and, you know, to get the chance to be in Azteca and be a part of a game and be a part of a Champions League. It's, you know, it's definitely not lost on me, which when I was younger, it might have been.
Well, I'll end on one last question here because I don't want to eat up too much of your afternoon and evening out there. My last question is, in looking back as a moment of reflection, if you had to start over knowing what you know today compared to what you knew coming out of college in 2010, 2011, would you do anything different? Or is this kind of gone the way that, or has basically everything that happened perfectly fine for you? Or is there anything that you would have done a little bit differently if you had a bit of more of experience going into it?
Oh, man, I probably would have just told myself to relax. To be honest, I would have just told myself to relax because, you know, like I said, you spend so much time thinking about the next move or, you know, at the time of signing with the Rowdies, I was a little, you know, I had big dreams. You know, I had dreamt of potentially going to Europe. I dreamt of, you know, making it to the MLS and proving I belong at the next level. And, you know, when I initially signed with the Rowdies, it felt like, you know, it kind of felt like I was taking a step back from what I was looking to accomplish, but it was the exact opposite. You know, I needed that time with the Rowdies to develop. I needed the games. I needed the opportunity to be home, to stay close to family. And, you know, it ended up working out the best way that it could. And it ended up working out the way that I needed it to. So if I could just, you know, my perspective that I have now, I wish I could have just told myself to relax and to enjoy each moment when you're in it, because, you know, my time with the Rowdies was something that was really special. I got to do it in front of my hometown. I got to, you know, win a championship for Tampa and kind of help the club grow. And I, you know, I like to think that I had a decent part of, you know, kind of what it's become. And to me, you know, the hometown, having success in the hometown and, you know, using that as a stepping stone was something that I look back at as some of the best memories that I had playing soccer. And in the moment, I didn't appreciate it for what it was, but, you know, I just wish I could tell myself to relax that, you know, just work hard, keep your head down, and things are going to work out the way that they're supposed to. So I didn't need to be, you know, as stressed out as I was most of the time.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's many of us that were there literally from day one at George Steinbrenner Field that still have season tickets, still go to games. You know, that the passion for the fan base and for the club is still there. It's still ever present. It's still growing in different ways. Those of us that were there back then, we treasure the memories that you gave us during the two seasons you were there for our club. And, you know, even to this day, you still have made the most appearances for the Rowdies of any professional team you've made a stop at. And that is not underappreciated on our side at all. So we definitely treasure you and your memories and wherever the winds blow. Obviously your career's already taken you from a stadium where we were putting grass over infield clay dirt to be able to play soccer. in 2 weeks, now you're playing at Azteca. Like, you know, obviously your career's already had a lot of directional changes. If it ever comes back to the Rowdies, trust me, you will be welcomed with the biggest and opest arms and the biggest smiles, because people around here still love everything that you contributed and still remember those fondly.
Hey, well, I appreciate that, man. Hey, I used to, it's so funny when they post these pictures. I mean, what a beautiful stadium Outlang is, you know, it's, mm-hmm. I hope that's not lost on the people of, the people of Tampa, the people of St. Pete, because I see these pictures they post now. It's on the water, it's right downtown. There's so many things going on. It's just such a beautiful stadium. I remember going out there, and if it was raining hard, whether it was early in the afternoon or the day before, I'm out there sweeping my 18-yard box, trying to clear the water, trying to
Yes.
clear the water off the field because, it didn't drain quite the way that it probably drains now. So I definitely remember those days, and I'm fairly certain our paths will cross again. So I appreciate you saying that, and I definitely have an eye towards the Rowdies, and wish the team nothing but success. And I'm excited for the day that our paths will cross again.
All right. Well, I appreciate thank you for taking the time to talk and have a little chat about that. I appreciate you being willing to come on and do that for us.
Oh yeah, of course, man. I love going down memory lane, especially Tampa, man. That's home, so no problem at all.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man. Well, you're always welcome back. I'll tell you that for sure. Whether on the podcast or the stadium, it don't matter. You're always welcome back, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that.
And with that, thank you for everyone listening in on this special interview. I hope you enjoyed that, and we hope to do more of these in the future, whether they are with former players, maybe a former coach, current players, whatever the wind may take us. This might be something we try and do a few more times. But with that, thank you, and have a good rest of your day. Go Rowdy.